So how many agree that God is good this morning? Mark is a little taller than I am. I'm going to move that down. I know you guys don't believe that, that Mark's taller than me, but he really is. So, as I said earlier, we are reviewing, well, we've been going through what we call Jesus Storybook Bible. Has anybody ever heard of that? It's kind of a kid's Bible, and it shows all of the stories in the Old Testament also pertain to Jesus. So the New Testament isn't the only thing in the Bible that points to Jesus. The Old Testament also points to Jesus. So we've been going through the Jesus Storybook Bible curriculum in our children's ministry. And so last week, we finally ventured into Exodus. Well, 2 weeks ago, we ventured into Exodus, and we talked about all those plagues that the kids think are really gross and all the frogs in the bed and all that kind of stuff. And we talked about Passover. And last week, we talked about the parting of the Red Sea and the miraculous thing that God did as he allowed that the Israelites to walk through on dry ground in the midst of a sea. He parted the waters to the sides and allowed them to walk through. So real quick, just for a review, I just want to let you know who the Israelites are, just in case it's been a long time or in case maybe you've never heard who the Israelites are before. The Israelites are a group of chosen people. They are descendants from Abraham. A lot of us have heard of Abraham, and we hear things like Father Abraham, or Abraham had this great faith. Well, he had a chosen son that was part of his covenant, and that son had 12 sons, and they all had kids, and they multiplied until they had a huge nation. And they went into slavery in Egypt, and finally, God let them go after all these plagues and the Passover. And so they are out in the wilderness trying to get to the promised land that God has promised to them. But it's an experience. It's not just like we get in our car and we drive from one place to the other. It takes a process. We are talking about, in the book of, I can't remember if it's in Exodus or Numbers, it says that when they counted, there were 600,000 men, just men, of the age of fighting age, 20 and older, that were able to go to war. So when you look at my family, Rennie would be counted as that one, but there are five of us. So if you think about the amount of people that the Israelites were, we are talking about a couple of million people here. Even if everybody had one wife and two kids, I mean, that's a lot of people. But we know that's not the case because they had huge families. So anyway, we're looking at a couple of million people here trying to trek through the wilderness, trying to trek through this area where they don't have easy access for streams and trees for shade and things like that. So it's a big undertaking. So what I want to talk to you a little bit about today is about how God provided for these people as they walk through this wilderness. So I want to talk to you, kiddos. I know sometimes we use big words, so I want to make sure we all know what these words mean. So let's see, does anybody know what the word provide means? Yes, that's how it's said. Do you know what it means? Zoe, do you know what it means? It could be protection from something dangerous around, maybe. Heidi, do you know? What is it? Yes, so giving. She said providing is like giving. So do we have a definition? Did I make a slide with a definition? The word provide, if you look it up in the dictionary, it says to make it available or to make arrangements to supply. To make available or to supply or to make arrangements to supply. So if I am supplying, like we played that game earlier with all the kids and everything, if I'm supplying them with the ability to play the game, I'm going to bring all this stuff to play. I'm going to bring the rules. I'm going to let them know what they have to do. I'm providing them with the things to play a game. So that's what provide means. And the other word we're going to say a lot is incredible. Does anybody know what the word incredible means? Incredible, yes. Does anybody know what it means? Zoe, you want to take a stab at it? It is like something's incredible. What is the first thing they teach in school? Don't answer a definition with the same word.
Well, the definition of incredible is hard to believe, so extraordinary it seems impossible. And when I thought about that, I just used incredibles because I thought it would be a cool thing to tie it in with the kids. But when I started looking at what that word means, so extraordinary it seems impossible, these three stories we're going to talk about today, they are so extraordinary that it does seem like it's a made-up story or that it's impossible. So keep those two definitions in mind as we go through this message. The other thing I did want to talk to you about is, has anybody actually seen the movie Incredibles? Nobody? Okay. They'll just go on then. Oh, you watch it all the time on your mom's phone? Okay. Well, the movie Incredibles is our theme, and I meant to tell earlier that the pantyhose game was from Elastigirl. The elastic pantyhose. Stacy said, make sure you say that, and I forgot. Because she got the games together. So anyway, that's a side note. So today we're going to look at three ways that God provided for the Israelites. And just like The Incredibles is an awesome movie, it's a made-up movie. And sometimes we hear these stories and we get confused on what is made up and what is true. But we know that the stories we're going to talk about is true because I found them here. I didn't find them in a movie. Well, there are probably movies about these. But it still originated from the Word of God. So the Word of God, is it true? Yes. Who is it written by? God, right? God told men to write it. And can we believe what it says? Yes, yes. So today we are going to believe the awesome things that takes place in this passage because it's in the Word of God. So let's continue on. So as the Israelites were going through as they parted through the Red Sea and they got on the other side and they praised God for his protection, after a little while, you know, it had been over a month since they left Egypt. And guess what? Supplies were dwindling. When you go camping, you take your little food, you take your snacks, you take your stuff to cook with and whatever. But it doesn't last forever. After a few days, your supplies are dwindling. So they've been in the wilderness for over a month, and we're talking about a couple million people. And guess what they started saying? What do your kids start saying when you're on a trip or something? I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm starving. Can we get something to eat yet? Are we there yet? So that is what the Israelites started doing. They started going, oh, I'm starving. And I know nobody in this room is very dramatic when they say I'm hungry. Like, I know nobody ever like falls on the ground like, oh, I'm so starving. But that's what the Israelites did. They said, I'm so starving. Did you bring us out here to die? I know none of you all would ever say that, but that's exactly what the Israelites did. We could even deem that maybe they were hangry. You know, they were so hungry that they were agitated and angry. I never get hangry. But I'm sure that that's what the Israelites were doing. They were so dramatic. And so they were talking to Moses and they were whining and stuff. And Moses got to the point where he thought they were mad enough, they were going to gang up on him and kill him. So he said, God, what are we going to do? I have to feed these people. We have to feed them. What are we going to do? And so this is what God says. And this all takes place in Exodus 16 and 17. So in Exodus 16, we see that God had his incredible provision of the first thing of food. So the first thing God provided was food. And he said this. He said, you brought us out here. The people said, you brought us out here to die. We're going to starve to death. So God told Moses, I am going to rain down food from heaven on you. Does that make you think of another movie? Yeah. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs? Yeah, that's what I thought about too. So God said, I'm going to make bread rain down from heaven on you. So he gave him these instructions. This is what God told the people. He said, every morning I will provide bread from heaven. All you have to do is you have to go out and collect it. So go collect enough for your family for that one day. And then he said, on the sixth day, collect twice as much, and it will stay good for the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day. But if you collect too much, then it'll get worms and maggots in it, and it'll be stinky the next day. So some people, they tried to go out, and they tried to collect more than what they needed, and they got in this stinky, nasty mess. in the verses 11 and 12, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread that you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." So I have a little, the kids like to feel things as I talk and stuff. So I have something that's kind of flaky, if you want to touch it. I'm not going to, like, cook this later, so you can touch it. And, okay, Lily, touch it, and let's go on. She's like, "Oh, I'm playing, playtime." Okay, just run your fingers through it, put it back in there. We don't want it all over the church. And so this substance, the Bible says that the manna that fell from heaven was like a flaky substance. It, one passage it said it could be kind of like coriander seed. And see, does not want to touch it. Okay. And Randy, do you want to walk around and see if any of the kids want to touch that flakiness? That's actually instant potatoes, but we're pretending. We're pretending that it's manna. And that is our flaky substance. So God came up this creative way to provide bread from heaven. I mean, that's pretty impossible. If we were talking about it to someone who didn't know the word and we said that this couple million people were fed from bread from heaven, we would think, yeah, right. But a lot of us have heard it so long that we don't really think of it as impossible anymore. We lose some of the wonder of what it is, but we need to make sure we renew our mind to the wonder of what God's word says. So He did this incredible thing by giving them bread every morning. But guess what? He also gave them quail in the evening. So the quail would come down and hover low. And I'm assuming they were just slow enough that the Israelites just had easy kill. And they were able to roast those quail up and have chicken or quail for dinner. And we would associate chicken maybe with that. We probably eat more chicken than quail. But they had quail for dinner and they had bread throughout the day. Because God provided for them. God made sure they had food to eat. So when they disobeyed, it became a big stinky mess. When they disobeyed, the next morning they would get up thinking, oh, I can gather a bunch and not have to go out and gather every day. So they disobeyed God. And when they did that, their food, their flour and stuff would have worms and maggots in it, and it would stink. Do we have a picture? So can you imagine getting up and going to your pot that you might have kept your manna in and going, oh, the smell would be overwhelming, and then you have these maggots in there. Those are actually called flour worms, like they get in flour. Anyway, they're gross. So there would be a big stinky mess that you would have. So the key point from the story of a manna is that God, I forgot what it was, I don't have it written down. Obey God in the provisions that He gives us, or we have a stinky mess to clean up. Isn't that true, though? Like, sometimes we want to disobey, and, you know, it may not be physically stinky, but sometimes it's just off enough to where it is a big, fat mess. Like, for instance, God provides us for us in ways of jobs. We go to work, we bring home a paycheck, and He says, tithe to the church. He says, give me back my portion, and we don't because we think we know better. Just like the Israelites thought they knew better with collecting extra, and they didn't, and they had a stinky mess. And then we don't get the abundance. We don't get the provision because we don't tithe in the way that God has asked us to. So His way is always the best way. Amen? All right, well, the second way that God provided was with water. So imagine being out, walking in the hot sun. You're outside, or maybe you're doing yard work outside. What is the first thing you want? Lily, what's the first thing you want? Just talk about made me want water just then. You want something to drink. You want water. You want something to quench your thirst. You want something to cool you off. You want something to hydrate you because you're out there walking around. And so the same thing happened with the food. The same thing happened with water that happened with the food. The Israelites are saying, we are going to die if we don't have something to drink. They got really dramatic, and they thought they were going to die. And, I mean, honestly, you will die if you go so many days without water. But our response shouldn't be to whine about it. So they were out there, and they were whining, and they were carrying on. And so they asked, they didn't ask Moses for help. They started whining at Moses, saying, we don't have water. Did you bring us out here to die? And guess what Moses did again? He goes to God, and he goes to God for help, and Did God say, no, you guys can't have water because you whined? No. Did he say, go look for it yourself, good luck? No. He had a plan. So what God told Moses to do was he said, I want you to take, oh, I forgot I had two props. I want you to take your staff, the one you used to turn the Nile River into blood, the one you held out over the Red Sea, and I want you to take your staff, and I want you to take some of the elders of the tribes, some of the leaders in the tribes, and I want you to go to this rock. It is not this rock, obviously. And he says, I want you to strike the rock, and water will come forth, and we'll feed the, we'll allow all the livestock and the people to drink. So, John, do I have that picture? So here's a picture of what it might have looked like. The rock would have been a hard rock like this. Obviously, this does not produce water. Does everybody agree? So it's unlikely that if I went out in the parking lot and threw it down and it broke, that water would come out of that. So it's a miracle that God had Moses go hit this rock. And it would have been a huge, like, cliff-type rock, because you're thinking of letting over 2 million people drink, plus livestock. It would have been a huge area. And to have him hit it with a stick, because that's really, in essence, what a staff was. It was a stick. So he took a stick and hit a rock. There's no water that comes out of that. So it was a miraculous feat that he could strike this cliff with a rock and water gush out enough to feed all of the people of Israel that was in the wilderness. So the key point is there is sometimes there is an action that we have to take for God to provide for us. So just like Moses and the leaders hit the rock, I mean, they risked looking like fools. They could have gone, you know, in their mind, they're like, what if we go up to this rock and we hit it and nothing happens? They took that risk of looking like fools. But God asked them to do stuff. They were obedient to it. And because of that, he provided in a miraculous way. In Matthew, Jesus tells his followers to seek him first, and he would make sure we had everything. We would have to go to God and put him number one in our lives. But when we do that, we not just see provision, but we see abundant provision. He provides all things for us. So the third and last way that God miraculously provided for the Israelites in the desert, we have manna, we have bread from the sky, we have water from a rock. The third thing was protection. And that is found in Exodus 17. So, can everybody raise their hands for me? Raise your hands and just keep them up for as long as you can. While I'm talking, just keep your hands up. Oh boy. We'll see how your muscles are. So, the Israelites were in a place called Rephidim. And I may not be pronouncing that right, but you get the idea. And there's a group of people called the Amalekites. And the Amalekites came down to attack the Israelites. We don't know if the Amalekites were just scared because the Israelites were so vast of a people. Or maybe they were like, well, you're in our territory. We don't want you to be there. So, you know, we're going to attack you. Regardless of the reason, they decided they were going to attack the Israelites. So Moses tells Joshua, okay, in the morning, you're going to take a group of men, you're going to lead them into battle, and as you are fighting, I'm going to go up on this hill, and I am going to raise the staff of God as you are fighting. I'm going to make sure I'm not poking the ceiling. So that's what happened. Joshua takes his men, he goes into battle, and the fearless leader Moses walks up the hill, and he raises up the staff, and guess what? The Israelites win. The Israelites are winning because the staff is up. Anybody have tired arms yet?
No.
Cameron's, because his is down, maybe. So after a while, but think about raising a thing. That makes you more tired, right? I mean, you can kind of raise your arms for a while, but if you're raising an item in your arms, it's a lot heavier, a lot quicker. So guess what happened? Moses started getting tired. Levi, come here. Moses started getting tired. So he takes the staff. And what happens if you get tired? He starts to drop it. And when he starts to drop it, guess what happened? The Amalekites started winning and the Israelites started losing. So there was two faithful people that supported Moses, Aaron and Hur, and they came and they held up Moses' arms. And they made sure that Moses' arms were held up. And guess what? Not only did they hold up Moses' arms, they went and sat him down on a rock so he would at least be resting part of his body while the other body was up top. And when that happened, and when his arms were raised the whole time, the Israelites won. And so because of the help of his faithful guides, of these people that supported Moses, they were able to have victory. And so if you guys want to put your hands down, you put your hands down. I figured a lot more hands would drop it a lot quicker than what they were. My hands get tired fast. So Hur and Aaron, they held up Moses' arms because they so wanted the Israelites to have victory that they thought it was an important thing to hold up Moses' arms. And guess what? They prevailed. The battle was eventually won by the Israelites. And do you guys know that sometimes we are not always strong all the time? Sometimes we need people to come along beside of us and hold up our arms. Don't we, Lily? So, I'll take this because I can tell Levi's starting to get tired. I can see danger happening. So as we look at this staff that was held up by Moses, it was held up, I mean, if you think back to the burning bush, it was thrown down on the ground and made into a snake. It was thrown on the ground again in front of Pharaoh and made into a snake. It hit the Nile River and turned the river into blood. It was used to help part the Red Sea. It struck a rock. There are many things that this staff was used for. Moses used this staff a lot. I would say that there might have even been times that he was walking along the path and there was a critter or something. Maybe he shoved it to the side with his snake, with his staff. Who knows? But he used this staff. He probably used it when he was tired. But does this have any special powers? No, it's a stick. It's made out of wood. But it was an instrument of what God used to make sure that his will was done. It was a way that, I mean, there had to be something turned into a snake, right? So a stick is the best bet for that. And who would want to touch a bloody river? Of course not. You'd want to use a stick. So it's very common that, you know, there had to be some kind of vessel to be used, some kind of instrument. So we don't use staffs for the miraculous today. So what are the staffs now? I would say that we are. If you look around each other, you can see the support that we give each other. We are each other's staffs. We encourage each other when we can't do it on our own. Sometimes we have to see a sign. We have to have healing in our bodies. And we go to someone and then we say, will you pray with me? And they become that staff for us, that instrument that God uses to help us get some kind of breakthrough in our life or to see a miraculous thing in our life. So the key point for this is be willing and available to be used by God to help show someone else who Jesus is. And we won't use a stick to do that. But sometimes if you are having a bad day and you walk into a room and someone smiles at you, someone gives you a hug, maybe someone sends you a Bible verse. I have a girl who sends me Bible verses probably once a week. They're always so spot on, and it's such an encouragement. Those things are ways that we can be used by God. And they don't have to be huge. They don't have to be humongous ways. Kids, you guys can show love to your parents, your teachers at school, by listening. You know, obedience goes a long way. Sometimes by being nice to the kid who nobody else is being nice to is a great way to show God's love. Adults, we have to learn that too. We sometimes, if there's someone getting picked on at work, sometimes we just walk the other way and not get involved. But that's the way that we can show God's love for them. So as we remember the incredible, unbelievable, and mighty ways that God provided for us, let's also remember that he made us to be incredible too. We are God's incredibles, right? I feel like we need some kind of like action pose, you know, like to be incredible. But God didn't just provide. He didn't just do the miraculous things in the wilderness. He didn't just do the miraculous things in the desert. He didn't just do the miraculous things for the children of Israel. We have on our wall back here, we said, says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God has the power to part the Red Sea, to bring water out of a rock, to provide victory in the circumstances when we think it's completely hopeless, he can still do it today. And one of the ways that he provided for us and he provides for us all the time is by giving us the hope. When Jesus came and he walked on this earth and he died for us and he rose from the grave, he provided for us a savior. He provided for us a way out of bondage, a way out of sin, a way out of sickness, a way out of oppression. He provided us victory in our lives. And the great thing about that is that he is still providing that for us today. He is still our living hope. I love that Mark and Emily sang that song this morning. He is still our living hope. He is the one that brings us the provision of a better way. We don't have to live in the old, yucky way anymore. Right, kids? We don't have to live in that old way. But when we accept Jesus, we are washed white as snow. We are giving a fresh, brand new start. And we can live in that hope that he is going to do that for us day after day after day. Even when we mess up, we can go right back to him and we can say, I'm so sorry. And he gives us a brand new start again. Because he is an incredible God that provides for his kids even now. So, I don't want to get caught up in, God still provides food and water and shelter and protection for us today too. And it's awesome. I just wanted to talk about how incredible he is, because I think sometimes we forget that he does the things that are so impossible. They're hard to believe. And sometimes it's hard for us to believe that he loved us enough to walk up a hill after he'd been beaten and bruised, carrying a big wooden cross on his shoulder. He's so in pain and he's suffering so much he can barely make it. But yet he trudges on because he is willing to do what his father asked him to do. So he trudges on up that hill with hardly any strength left in his body, carrying that cross because of you, because of me. There's not one person in this room he didn't do it for. There's not one person in this room he didn't think about when he walked up that hill. So that incredible provision that he did of providing himself as the sacrifice is so incredible. I don't even have words to explain it. I just know that I'm glad I live in an area and a day and a time when I can accept Jesus as my Savior. And I don't have to take sacrifices into the priest. But I'm glad I live in a time and in an area where I can praise Jesus as my Savior. And I can thank him for the many, many things that he has done. And I can thank him for the provision that he provides every day. So as Mark and Emily come up and Zeke come up to have a time of prayer and response, I just want to take a few moments and I want us to just have some self-examining time. And I want to just have us think about what God has done for us personally and the ways that he's provided for us personally. And just let's just take a few moments and just thank him for that, because we never thank him enough. I'm going to move my stuff out of your way. And as we thank him, I also want you to take a few minutes and I want you to think about what you might need, because there are things that we need. Sometimes it's the very basic things, like I don't know where that next, you know, batch of groceries are going to come from. We're out of money for the month. Sometimes it's very basic like that. Sometimes it's I've had this pain in my, you know, foot or whatever for a long time and I need it gone. It could be anything. But what I want you to do is I want you to take some moments and I want you to thank God for what he's provided and then ask him for what you need. Because the word says if we ask him for what we need, he won't give us a serpent if we ask for, or he won't give us a stone if we ask for bread. He won't give us a serpent if we ask for fish and food. He gives us what we need because he's a good and gracious Father who loves us. So if you want to come forward and if you want someone to stand with you and ask him for the things that you need, Pastor Rennie and Amanda will be available to pray. If you want to sit in your seat and ask God for the things that you need, that is fine too. But let's just take some time to do some self-examining. And Mark and Emily will lead us in a song during this.
Broken every chain, there's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that living hope. And I wanted to just reiterate our memory verse, just because I think the way it's worded is so awesome. And it starts off by saying, everyone will say, come and see the incredible things God has done. And I think that is important, because that everyone, hopefully, are the people that we encounter on a daily basis. Hopefully they will look at our lives and see what God has done in our lives and the change that he's made in our hearts and our lives. And he will say, people will say, look at the incredible thing that God has done. So I'm going to read this verse one more time. Psalm 66, verse 5. It says, everyone will say, come and see the incredible things God has done. It will take your breath away. He multiplies miracles for his people. Let's read that one more time together. Psalm 66, 5. Everyone will say, come and see the incredible things God has done. It will take your breath away. He multiplies miracles for his people. Amen. Amen. Well, it was so good for you all to be here with us today at our kids' gathering. Thank you for your patience with the games and all the crazy stuff that we do. And I just wanted you guys to know that we do have lunch afterwards. We will, after we set everything up, we'll kind of loop through the kitchen and we'll have a couple more tables set up in here and in the kids' area to eat. So we hope you guys stay around. I'm just going to pray to close us out and thank God for our food that we had this morning. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for this incredible time to be in your presence today, Lord. And I pray, Lord, this week that we will think about all the many ways that you are incredible, not just in general, but to us personally too, Lord God. We love you, Lord, so much, and we thank you, Lord, that we can love you because you first loved us, because your unfailing love has been shown to us over and over and over again. God, I pray that we would be lights and witnesses for you as we go out into our worlds, as we go out into our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, Lord, in our schools. I pray that you will just shine through us, Lord God. We love you, and we thank you for the food you provided for us today. I pray that you will allow it to bless our bodies, Lord, and I thank you that you are an incredible provider. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.